Okay, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew 24. And as you're turning, if you could stand the honor of reading God's Word, Matthew 24. We are going to start reading in verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this portion of Scripture, and I pray that you bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we began with the verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Does anybody need a sheet? Anybody not get a sheet? I just thought about that. Anybody not have? Emma, where were you at this morning? You're probably going to say something like, "Oh, don't use that for an excuse." Now, here's one. There should be some more around here. Are there any more? I know I made a bunch of them. Thank you, Brother Sugar. Yeah, there you go. There we go. He's got a bunch. Okay. I think we got one back over here, and then, okay. Use that excuse for the nursery. I don't know. Girl? Man. Nursery. Anyway, we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 18, and we see in there the rapture of the saints. Now, the reason I did that is because you won't see the rapture in this area of Scripture, and because it is written to the Jews, all right? It's written to the Jews, and that's why the book of Matthew is a marvelous book. Because it is so different, and it's written to people with them in mind, with their customs and the way they think and the way they worship. Okay, so that's what that was about. So Jesus' public ministry is complete, and they're sitting on the side of the Mount of Olives, and they're looking across the valley to Jerusalem and the walls and whatnot, and on top of this thing, you see the temple, Herod's temple, and this beautiful edifice that's there. And he's talking about how not one stone will be left upon another, and it's impossible for them to picture that, because it is such, just to look across and see it is hard for them to really grasp that. And so in verse 8, as we look in Matthew 24, he says, "All these things are the beginning of sorrows." Now the word sorrows is the idea of birth pangs or the throes of a birth or like contractions of a woman who's getting ready to give birth and how they start out and they're kind of there's a lot of time in between, and when the time gets closer and closer and closer, the contractions closer and closer and worse until it just kind of becomes one until the child is born. And so this is what there's going to be travail, and this is the idea that he has put inside their mind. And so then in verse 4, he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And he says, be very careful of this deception, because it is easy for today. In this country, you know, the sad part about it is our government has become so corrupt, and people think that their party is helping them out, and neither of them do. They're going to do whatever they're going to do, and it's almost like we have taxation without representation, and those who represent, they're going to tax you to death, you know, and this is not a political thing. I'm just saying is people actually think that they're going to do good for us, and it just seems they're all going in the same way, sadly. But the covenant made between Israel and the beast is one of the big things that's happening in for this tribulation time, and the millennial temple is going to be already built at this time. And you know, it's amazing, you hear about these things that the materials are all ready, and some of the things that go on over in Israel. I remember some years ago they were having a real fuss about some tunnel that went underneath the Dome of the Rock and this kind of thing, and Islam was all upset about how the Jews were going underneath there. But what they were thinking is, they're thinking maybe the temple was underneath, and they were trying to do anything to stop this. And because there's so much excavation around Jerusalem even to this day, they've even somehow got together. It is said that they have a red heifer that they use to consecrate the temple. This kind of thing, and I've heard all kinds of stories of how they did it. I don't know, but there will be great deception that falls upon people. As this morning, I had mentioned that in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, that there's going to be deception that's going to fall upon the people who have heard the gospel and who have not receive the Lord, and at the rapture of the saints, there will be strong delusion that comes upon them, and they will not be able to be saved. And that's a sad thing, you know. But it is what it is, you know. So there'll be a lot of deception that is going to be going around. But I want you to look in verse 6 and 7. This will be, you'll see the dissension. First the deception, then the dissension. 6 and 7, and ye shall hear of wars. In other words, he's saying in the future, you're going to hear, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Okay. So this time will be characterized by wars and rumors of wars everywhere. Wars may not exist, but at least there will be rumors of them. Or armies, countries arming up and to appear to ready themselves for whether it's a hot war, a cold war, or an unknown war. Let me give you an unknown war that's going on right now. It's between China and the USA. China has been at war with us since 1948, and it's the way the Chinese fight their wars. They do it with deception. They do it with all kinds of things. For instance, getting technology. They believe it is easier to have people give them technology than them trying to spend the money to learn this technology or try to steal it in some way. For instance, during the war or the conflict in Bosnia, I believe that was in the 90s, right? And between Bosnia, now that was between the Christians and the Muslims. And during that time, there was a stealth fighter that was shot down. Well, the Chinese went out and grabbed the wreckage of that thing and brought it into their embassy compound. And I don't know if you remember how a stray bomb ended up in the Chinese compound. That wasn't stray. They were trying to destroy that stuff, the technology. And see, this is what they do. And they say, oh, it's a stray bomb. We're so sorry. And not a lot came of that because they, you know, it's a game that they play, and it's a very dangerous game. But these are the kind of things that we're talking about. This is stuff that's going on right now. Is they fight a war. They call it, I believe it's called the War of the Nations. And there was a book written about it by a man on the Chinese desk. He worked for the CIA for 42 years, and he didn't even realize this stuff was going on probably until the last, oh my goodness, maybe the last 8-9 years that he was there, when all this stuff came to light to him. And it's a book called The 100-Year Marathon, and it's a very interesting book. You kind of got to stay with it. But what of wars, even on our streets? Chicago, are you telling me they're not at war? Chicago's at war. They got more people dying there than they ever did over in Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, but you don't hear much about it. Why? Politics, you know. But there's a war. They have the strictest gun laws in the United States, and how many people are dying there? They talk about wars, nations against nations. What he's talking about is religion and politics. There are culture wars. This is even like they want to have this multiculturalism. What they're trying to do is trying to change the culture of Americans. America has its own culture. And each country has its own culture. You go from the United States to Canada, they're different up there. It might look the same, they look the same, and even talk pretty close the same, eh? You know? And, well, Jackson maybe know that. He's you got a little bit of that that influence in you, you might say. And, you know, I love the Canadians. They're peace lovers, eh? So they begin hockey, right? Yeah. What a hypocrites, you know. But culture wars and tribes against tribes is what they're talking about. Race against race. And today people are being pitted against each other. That's not by accident, okay? The Lord said that this was going to happen. The crazy thing about it is the rapture hasn't even happened yet, and we can see these things come into light. You've got neighborhoods against neighborhoods. We hear of teenage children coming across from El Salvador and these other places. They are not children. They are soldiers. You're saying they're not teenagers? Listen, the teenagers there are not like the teenagers here. Those are soldiers. They're killers. They probably killed a number of people already. Violence. People that are just vacant with any kind of remorse. And we cannot be deceived that there's anything less. And that's why the Lord talks about this great dissension. And in verse 6, he talks about this future, ye shall hear. And it gives the idea of continual hearing of rumors and nations fighting and saber rattling. areas of the Korean Peninsula and South Africa, the Sudan, the Congo, Afghanistan, the Ukraine and the Crimea. The people who took Crimea were Cossacks. We say, well, they were Russians. They were Cossacks. They weren't Russians. They were Cossacks. They're from the Tubal or Tubalesque area. And I was doing a study here, I don't know, a couple years ago. I was in my study, and I got into an area of my Bible, and listen, you can trace all these people, who they are, right in Scripture. Our Bible is a remarkable book, but you can find of who is who and where they went and who they're related to. The Cossacks are related to Persians and Russians. They're the same people. Did you realize that? You can see it right here in your Bible. It's amazing. They infiltrated north and east up there. There's wars going on in Sri Lanka, or we call it Ceylon. India against Pakistan, the Buddhists against the Hindus, the Muslims against the Christians and the Jews. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Daniel 11, and in verse 40. If you don't have your Bibles, I'll read it for you. Okay? Verse 40, "And at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him, like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." We're talking this Antichrist kingdom is going to be attacked from the south. They're going to be attacked from the north. There is going to be a huge, huge slaughter of people. Even today, Europeans are absolutely fearful. They are scared to death of what's going on in Europe right now, with all the infiltration of all these quote unquote what do they call these people are getting out of the war area, in which a lot of people are, but there's a lot of badniks that are coming in with them, and they infiltrate everything in England. There's a number of cities that have been taken over by Islam with Islamic law today. I mean, whole cities are taken over. And this is how they do things. Missionary Brother Ramzi Kumar told me years ago how it's done and how they plan on doing this. And they really do have a plan. They do. It's a written out plan. The FBI have found it in a raid in Virginia. They have found these plans that are out there and how they're going to take over the United States, and they're doing it. And listen, the crown jewel of all this stuff is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is everything. That is the center of the world. Whatever goes on in Jerusalem, whatever's happening over there, nations shudder, because they know how important Jerusalem is, politically, spiritually, and just in reality as far as Scripture goes. In Daniel 11, we read verse 40. Let's read 41. "And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon." Ammon, let me tell you who they are. That's Jordan. Ammon, Jordan. That's who they are, okay? Verse 42, "He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many." And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. That's the Antichrist. He's going to set things up and in the temple in Jerusalem. This is what all this stuff is talking about. There's so much. And I know I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. So there's going to be a push from the south, the north. Russia will push back. Russia, the Persians, Ammon, Ammon, Jordan, all these things will be dealt with. And they'll all end up in Mount Zion, right there in Jerusalem, where the temple is going to be built. Zechariah. Turn over to Zechariah. If you find Matthew, turn back a couple books. Zechariah, Malachi. Zechariah 14. I know you know where Malachi is. That's the giving book. Look in Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, in verse 1, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And Haggai chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, and it says, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts, the king, the Messiah, will defeat them all. They will be destroyed. So great dissension is going to come. In the end, it will be a literal powder keg of what's going to happen in this world. And these are some of the overviews that we're going to see. Now, we're going to go over to Revelation chapter 5. I want to say something before we're going to get into the seals. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. Look in verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, these start with the seals. This is when the wrath is going to start. Now, what's kind of interesting, now, either this is by coincidence or it just is what it is, Roman law. If there was, say, Brother Jackson, he would receive, say, an inheritance from somebody. And you would have to go and prove who you are first, that you are Brother Jackson. And the will, according to Roman law, it had to be sealed with seven seals. There were seven seals on that will. And the reason for it is that it could not be opened by accident. Maybe one is broken. Maybe two seals are broken. But all seven, we know something. There's something wrong. Okay, but you had to prove who you are. Are you in fact that person? So what would you have to do? You have to provide proof of who you are. Birth certificate or something like this. That you are related to who you are related to. And this is why we have the Word of God. This is why we have in the book of Matthew, you see all the genealogy in Luke chapter 3 and all the genealogy all the way back. You see all these names and how they all come together. And the reason is Jesus Christ proves that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb. He is the one who came out of the root of David, you know. And so He's a branch. And all these things, we say, well, this stuff just gets boring. No. This stuff is so important. And this is why we learn what the Bible is about. We learn that Bible, and then it becomes alive because it's very real. And that's why He can open the book and open these seals up, okay? And so we look at these seals. Look in Romans chapter 6 in verse 1, and it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So you see the first seal that's open in the white horse. This is the Antichrist that's coming. This is him. And he's coming with a bow, and he has no arrows. So he comes in peace. He comes with flatteries. He comes with negotiation. He's a good speaker. And people are drawn to this individual. He is a very charismatic individual in whom peace, everybody wants peace, peace, everything's peace. I got it. But at what cost? Look in verse 3 and 4. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword," the red horse. This is war. War is going to break out. Look in verse 5. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Now what he's saying there is that you will get one meal for a day's wage. That is about all you can get. In other words, there's going to be a lot of famine going on. They talk about famine today. You know, there's people that are poor, and there is famine in some places, but the sad part about it, they're man-made famine. Okay? Well, we see the droughts in California. Those are man-made droughts. Make no mistake, those are man-made droughts. Because they don't allow the water in the California aqueduct because they want to make sure the Sacramento River has enough water in there for river smelt. Little fish, okay? And you say, well, that seems ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous, it's foolish. The San Joaquin Valley, it's a garden's place. I mean, it's a breadbasket. I mean, food was grown everywhere there. When I first went there in the early 70s, there was more food. And you say, but I bet it was beautifully green. No, it was as dry as it could be. It's the San Joaquin Valley, but they would bring in the water through that incredible California aqueduct. You know, see, this is how this stuff works. You got famine over in Africa. Why? Because you get some bad guys, they go and they get all this food that's been brought in and they use it for themselves and they try to sell it to the poor people. and they die of famine. It's all man-made. It's ridiculous. None of this started happening over like in Ethiopia until the communists took over. All right? And this isn't a sermon against politics. This is an ideology. This is what people believe. They want utopia on earth. This is anti-Christian, okay? Now, verse 7. Look in verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. The pale horse is just pure death. And he says one quarter of the earth is dead. Today we have 7 billion people. One quarter of the earth is 1.8 billion people dead. We are now down to 5.2 billion people. Okay, after this. Let's look in Romans chapter 9. Turn over to Romans 9. Yeah, I wish I could take so much more time with this because the stuff is just incredible. And it's so enjoyable to go through. And say, how can you have so much fun with this? Because I'm going to be out of here. I do pray that you are saved. I really do. Look in verse 13. Chapter 9 and verse 13. And the sixth seal sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. That's 200 million. Who has a 200 million man army? China. Today, they got a 200, by the way, 200 million men. So, another one-third is dead. That's 1.8 7 billion people dead. That is 3.5 million left. We already now, half the population on earth is dead. 3.5 billion people are dead. Just like that. I know it's just in a book, but it's a book of truth. Look in verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Let me see, where am I? Verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Their sorceries means their drugs. Okay, their drugs. So, you see another, how many? One third of mankind die. That is 1.2 billion dead. That is 2.2 billion left. In other words, you go from, in a very short time, you go from 7 billion to just over 2 billion. Now let me ask you a question. In this short a time and with that many, it's hard for us to see a million of anything. let alone a billion. That these are just numbers. That stuff is so high we can't conceive it. When I was in high school, we were trying to get 1 million bottle caps. You know, then there were bottle caps everywhere, right? And I mean, everybody. I mean, just about the whole school was picking these things up and getting them and bringing them in. Well, in our classroom, we had these boxes, and they were huge boxes like this. And these things were everywhere. In fact, we had to stop getting them because there was going to be no more room in this classroom. And we'd counted 100,000. One-tenth. And I just went, oh my. This is a lot of bottle caps. And we only got one-tenth of 1 million. So now I had an idea that 1 million would have filled that room up completely. And 1 billion is inconceivable. 5 billion? The stench will be too much for us. If you wonder what the stench is, just take a mouse and let it die and put it in a box and out in the sun and a couple days go and lift the lid. You'll get an idea. You know? I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying you'll get an idea. My wife, I killed a mouse in our house in Whidbey Island, and I threw it in the trash. Didn't even think about it. And somebody came out, one of the kids came out and then put, you know, the liner in it. I had gone on a detachment. I was gone. She went out and she pulled this thing up and been sitting in there for 1 week. I came back. She wanted to shoot me. She goes, honey, you're going to clean that thing out. It stinks, you know. And there's going to be stench all over this world. You can't bury them all. They'll have to take bulldozers. I mean, it's a sad, sad time, okay? Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. Look in verse 7. Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Listen up, he's saying. Listen. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know, the Antichrist defeats everybody. And it is going to be, there's going to be incessant massacre. Okay? Verse 11. And I beheld another beast. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And that image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What's the number? 666. Now, at this time, in the U.S. military, they are, and it's, this is by choice. It's not, It's not forced on anybody going in the military, but what it is, they are putting this chip into people. And one of the things is you can find his whole medical record, everything that's on that. But the other thing about this is that you can track him anywhere in the world from these, from our satellites that are up there. They're all over the place. Our space is full of junk, you know, and they keep putting more and more and more up there. And so when they go over to Afghanistan and Iraq, this is why that there were during Desert Storm, during the Desert Shield time, what they were doing, they were moving satellites around to get over Iraq, and that all of Iraq was made into a grid. And see how you know that? I knew people that moved those satellites around. It's fantastic. And this is what going on almost 30 years ago. How about now? They got stuff now that's unbelievable. And, I mean, even then, you can shoot, it's called fire and forget. If they locked in, they just fire it, they fly away. That thing's going to go right where they want it to. The weapons are so accurate now. And they could do this back in the 80s, by the way. They could fire a missile, one of those cruise missiles, from, say, an airplane shot it from Los Angeles, and that missile will hit the supper table. It won't miss it. That's how accurate they were then. Okay? And so now they can find where you're at. You won't be able to buy and sell. Everything's going to go to a chip anyway because they can already steal our credit cards. They have a chip in it now, right? Well, that will get smaller and smaller and smaller. And they'll put it in your forehead or your hand. So all you have to do is just boop, and there you go. Everything's transferred. You don't need money. We got a big discussion in the 1980s, in 1984, 83, 84, a discussion on this that, and this guy says, money will always be around. I said, no, it won't. And I said, it'll be gone. And we had a big discussion about that then. And I wonder about what he thinks about it now. You know, he probably thinks, I'm a prophet. But the thing is, it was right there, wasn't it? Isn't that amazing? And all the demonic forces, they're going to try to stop the King of Kings. And Matthew 24 and verse 6 says, it must all happen. It is necessary. And yet, the end is not yet. You have deception, dissension, and devastation. In Matthew 24 and in verse 7, let me get there. In verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. There's a book out there called None of These Diseases. I would recommend you pick it up and read it. I read about 2/3 of it and I had enough of it, but it's frightening, you know, the diseases that are out there. But there's going to be disasters of staggering proportion. It's going to be an earth that is cursed. Matthew 13, verse 8, he says, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows, those birth pangs. Luke chapter 21, verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven. Who? From the false prophet. I mean, he's going to have, that's what we read in Revelation. He's going to have fire fall from heaven to the ground. And that fearful sight, that fearful comes from the word phobio. In other words, we get our phobia. It is going to be so fearful in what's going to be happening. Terrorizing happenings. There's going to be changes in the sky. No place in particular, they will not be able to predict any of this stuff. They don't know where it's going to happen next. It's going to happen time and time and time again. And he who lives within us, he is the only restrainer. And when he is taken out of the way and we're taken, people are left. And people that we love are going to be left. We need to pray more now than we have ever prayed. for those people in whom we love. In Revelation 9, demons of incredible description are going to be let loose from that bottomless pit. You know, I've heard people say, well, that sounds like a helicopter. They are demons. These are going to be incredible, nasty-looking creatures. And they're going to go around, and they're filthy. They crawl out, and they come to just torment man. Believe it. We think, well, I've never seen anything like that. Hey, we're in Texas, not Missouri, okay? You know, the Show Me State? That's the Show Me State. Let's see. Revelation 16:18, it says there's earthquakes such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. In other words, there's going to be earthquakes that seismographs, they're going to be no good. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 20, it says, every island will flee away. In other words, they're going to move. Mountains are going to be flattened. Can you imagine those type of earthquakes? In other words, this earth is going to shake itself apart. Why? Because such evil roams the surface of the earth and is in beneath. Revelations 11:13, earthquakes. A tenth part of the city will fall. 7,000 dead, the remnant, they are going to be scared witless. Famine on levels that have never been described in Revelation 6. Revelations 8:7, they shall be hail and fire mingled with blood. And these hailstones, they say they're going to be as heavy as a talent. That's between 95 and 100 pounds. You're not going to have those little ping pong dents in your cars anymore. It's just going to flatten it. All right? And one third of the grass and trees are gone. Mountains are going to be leveled. The seas are going to be intolerable. Sea life and shipping will be destroyed. This is Revelations chapter 8, verses 7, 8, 9. Verses 10 and 11, he says, there's going to be, a great star. Half the drinking water will be foul and poisonous. Many men will die. Verses 12 and 13, light is going to be doused out. One third of the sun, one third of the moon, one third of the stars. Darkness will descend this earth, the surface of the earth. Revelation 16, verse 2, painful sores. Anybody ever had a boil? All right. Now, that's something to write a book about. A boil? Phew. Yeah. And people say, like a zit, right? No, it is a blood infection. It is a staph infection in your blood, is what it is. Revelation chapter 16, verse 4, all the waters are now bitter and foul. You can't drink anything. Verse 8, men will be scorched. And then in verse 9, there'll still be haters of God. This is why I believe in people in hell will curse God for eternity. Because there is no remorse in hell. They're just haters of God. Worse than it is today. Revelations 18, 8 through 10, man's system will completely disintegrate and all economy will fail. I mean, now it's you're on your own. Revelations 8, all the tides and the calendars, they're all going to be off. Everything. It is going to be so much chaos. You're not going to know the time of day. You're not going to know the date. The tides are going to, they're going to be so off. And listen, you know, the moon is in such a place. Do you realize the moon does not spin, right? You realize that. Some people don't know that. It stays in one spot. And if it was 1 degree out or 1 degree in, all life on earth will die. Because of the moon, it makes the tides move. That's why they ebb and flow. ebb and flow. And that keeps life living. We're in a very precarious situation when you start looking around, and when evil has no restraint, everything is affected. This is why, brothers and sisters, I think I'm going to finish with this, because we're going to have to talk more about some of this stuff next week. But this is why I want to encourage you and warn you of some things. Number one, I want to encourage you. Let me warn you first. Your sin affects other people. I don't care if it's here and no one knows about it. It affects people in your home. It affects people in this church. It affects people you don't even know. You say, how can you say that? Because sin affects the earth. You get it? Earth shakes. Your sin affects other people. This is why we need to check ourselves from time to time. And it's serious. This is why David said, search me and try me. And see if there's any wicked... That wasn't a challenge to God. That was not a challenge. He wanted to make sure he was pure. Because he knew what sin does. It destroyed a nation. Not only his family, but a nation. And now, let me encourage you of this. Number one, start asking, Lord, show me and see if there's any wicked way. And you pray. You pray like you've never prayed before for those whom you love. And say, what about the lost people we don't know? You have people that you know. He said, but I've told them time and again, don't you stop praying. Let God do the work for a change. Because He is so much more thorough. We can deal with this. He deals with this. They can say, yeah, I'm a sinner, but He's the one who shows them they're lost. This is the work of God. And as long as the restrainer lives within us, let's ask Him, God, to deal with those that are lost and whom we love. There is no indication, there is no warning of the rapture of the saints. All this is for the second coming of the Lord when He comes back. That's why on your little sheet, you see that little thing, that's 7 years. The rapture of the saints, they're going to be gone. We will be gone, and I hope you will be too. But during those 7 years, hell is going to break out. Hell on earth. Literally. Nothing is going to slow Him down until this earth is just about gone. And then He comes back. Then the end will come. What will the end bring? The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And He will rule with a rod of iron. And we will come back with Him. We've got great promises, but the people that are left here, I fear for them.